Well, I'm preaching in Ephesians 6, 18 through 20 on prayer this morning. Getting close to finishing Ephesians. And this is on more than you wanting to pray, me wanting to pray. It's more than our need to pray. It's that God has called you to pray to Him. And a lot of people don't think of it this way. But praying to Him is a calling. There's a certain place in Africa, there's a community of Christians. They're an example of diligence about God's calling to pray. Each Christian there in this village has their own special prayer hut outside the community. And they go there to the prayer hut for focused prayer. And a trail leads from each person to their prayer hut. And people around, they know about the prayer huts and they know about the footpaths that are leading to each one. So over time, if grass begins to grow over a trail, it becomes evident that the person hasn't been praying very much. And so out of concern, there's a unique custom that has sprung up. When an overgrown prayer trail was noticed, someone would say this, "Friend, there's grass on your path." And this opened the door to self-realization. Get them to understand, yeah, something's wrong, I'm not praying, and you notice it. In our own life, in your life, prayer can start to wane for many, many reasons. Prayer can drop off when everything's going great. Think about this. You get riding high on life, and so you start to abide in the high. So everything's going great. And that's when you can put prayer down on a lower shelf. You can put your calling down there. But prayer can drop off when all's not well. You get beat up. The hard hits of life put you in a place of giving up. Prayer can wane because of not understanding prayer, by not understanding how important it is, not understanding how much God wants you to pray. And again, like I say, the calling.
Amen.
God says pray regularly, whether you're flying high or whether you're knocked down low.
Right.
Pray regularly because He's called you to. He really does want you to. He likes this form of communication. He designed it. Ephesians 6, 18 to 20, it has this coming into it. Paul has just said, if you'll remember, those of you who are here, be strong in the Lord, in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. And then he says this, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit and with this in view. Be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all those who are Christians, all who are set apart in Christ, saints. And pray on my behalf, Paul, that utterance will be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I will speak boldly. That's his prayer request, as I ought to speak. Prepare your heart for this sermon. God says to pray regularly, so why am I not? Let's pray now. Father, I ask that you would guide me to preach accurately, build us up to communicate with you continuously in our calling. Help me to preach to where that gets set in us, that message becomes part of us for your glory in this relationship that you have given, this calling you have given, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Now you live each moment in spiritual war. And praying to God and petitioning Him is part of how we're supposed to survive. And prayer is one of your most powerful weapons.
Amen.
Recognizing that your strength is in the Lord and His mighty power, it gets you understanding that prayer is actually your power weapon. And we've been taught that being spiritually equipped is to wear the armor that Christ Jesus wears in the prophecies of Him in Isaiah. I think that's absolutely amazing. And we're told that we need to wear that. As a member of His body, you must put on His armor. If not, you're not going to live a victorious life. You're going to be defeated. Gird your loins with truth. Live it according to it. Study it. Obey God's word. Stand firm, it says, equipped with the truth. Believe that the righteousness of God in Christ is your protective breastplate. Cover your feet with the gospel of peace. Trust that your security in Christ is real salvation and it really does endure forever. Protect yourself with the shield of faith. Trust. Believe, rely on God in everything. Put on the helmet of your salvation. Protect your mind by trusting that you are a supernatural miracle of God. Protect your thoughts. Protect your mind. Hold the sword of the Spirit. It's the Word of God. It's the Bible. Hold it knowing that the sharpest edges are the new covenant revelations of the apostles. They have your life in Christ directives. I push that all the time. Always remember that. You're told to stand firm in all of that, that armor. You do that while praying and petitioning God, as it says. And this is so key. It says this in our passage, if you'll remember. At all times. So there is a necessity urging in your call to pray continuously through the day, even at night. Scripture after scripture tells you that you must do this. Pray about pretty much everything and anything. Your commander keeps telling you that this is a need for you to do. And he wants intention in this. Think of it as reaching out to him for help in any and everything. But to do this as direct obedience to him, you're going to have to understand that prayer is something more than what you do when you think that you might need it, to doing what he wants, because he says you always actually need to be doing it. Get that heavenly vision. This is the calling. You and me, we need to be praying at all times. So what does it mean to be praying regularly but with intention? With the intention. The intention is that you always need God's help. That's what you know. That's what you're looking for. That's what you're seeking. Pray regularly means more than you already do. So you should be trying to make sure that there's no grass on your prayer trail, right? And so key in on that description again. Let's think about it. At all times. At all times really means what it sounds like. Try to be praying in your mind in the flow of moving from one thing to another throughout the day. You know, pray in between thoughts and conversations that you're having with someone. You're on the internet, or you're with somebody, you're at work. And you're at work, be praying whenever your mind can just go to the Lord. You know, you can pray with your thoughts. Pray about everything like you're a little child and you're trusting the powerful authority that loves you to help you, because God wants that kind of reliance on him. He really does want us to rely on him. So let's look at something. Your commander says, pray and petition at all times, directly after telling you to take up the sword of the Spirit, the Bible. Now, the bonded connection of the Holy Spirit with God's word and with prayer is there, and that's what we need to know and understand. Again, it's the bonded connection of the Holy Spirit, God's word, and prayer. It's here. Listen, it says, the sword of the Spirit is God's word. It says, pray and petition in the Spirit. So think about this. People in false religions pray in religious futility. They pray outside God's word. They don't pray in the Spirit. But you have the Holy Spirit. You really do. So why did Paul think there was a need to tell you to pray at all times in what you have? Pray at all times in the Holy Spirit. I mean, think about it. If I have the Holy Spirit in me, and the Holy Spirit intercedes for me, as it says in Romans 8, 26 through 27, it seems like I already am praying in the Holy Spirit. You know, it might seem that way, but Paul has a particular meaning here. It has to do with being able to pray wrongly by praying in your flesh. That's his point. You're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit, but you can pray wrongly by praying in your flesh. You can pray with skewed motives that come from the flesh. So seeking to pray in the Spirit that you already have, this is the safeguard. You get your direction to pray according to the sword of the Spirit, which is the Bible. So remember the connection again. It says the sword of the Spirit is God's word, and it says pray and petition in the Spirit. So you do have the Holy Spirit, and you're led by the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, 14 through 16 actually does say this. All who are being led by the Spirit of God are children of God. But here's the thing. You're not always obedient to the Holy Spirit's leading at every single moment. And this is why you must heed the Spirit's leading. So when Romans 8, 26 through 27 says, the Spirit helps your weakness because you don't know how to pray as you should, what does it say the issue is? Not knowing how to pray as you should. That's the issue. Not knowing how to pray as you should. So based on your own thinking, you can pray in ignorance of God's guiding principles on prayer. And Paul illustrated this in his own self by praying three times for an affliction to be removed. But God said Paul had been praying amiss. Yet in the same epistle, 2 Corinthians 1:11, Paul explained praying right to be praying in the Spirit. He said, you must help us by prayer. He said, for the blessing to be granted. So he's looking for prayer to be given and for the blessing to be granted, and it is a right prayer. It was a prayer that was in the Spirit because it was God's will directed from the sword of the Spirit, Scripture. And then in 2 Corinthians 9:14, still there in 2 Corinthians, Paul described the Macedonians praying for the Corinthian church. And that prayer was prayer in the Spirit because God's word mandated it. And then again, 2 Corinthians 13:7, Paul prayed to God that the Corinthians would do no wrong. Okay, think about that. Prayer that they would do no wrong. Then he gave the spiritual reason that they would do what is right. It was Holy Spirit-led prayer, prayer according to God's word, prayer in the Spirit. And then immediately, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13:9, we also pray that you be made perfect. Again, this is 2 Corinthians that I'm showing. He prayed by the Holy Spirit according to the will of God. This is how we should be praying. But there's more. You're told, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit and with this in view. With what in view? It means you just take all this and you go to the next thing that you need to do, and it's easy. You pray and you petition constantly on a continuous basis in the Holy Spirit, and with doing that in view, you be on alert with all perseverance and petition for all the Christians you know. So we're supposed to pray for one another. We're supposed to be sensitive. We're supposed to be looking for things to pray based on what we understand with what's in view about this. This is all about God saying for you to pray regularly. Now, back in the beginning of Ephesians, Paul laid out the pattern, the epistle that we're in. He knew his prayer is in the Holy Spirit when he did. And he said earlier, I make mention of you in my prayers that God will give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. That right there is prayer in the Spirit. He said, I pray that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened to know what the hope of his calling is, what the riches of his inheritance is, and know what the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believes is. That's a prayer. And all these examples are in God's word that show us what it means to pray in the Spirit. Now, essentially, it's praying what it seems like Scripture is showing you to be what matters to God. That's really what it is. To pray in the Spirit is to pray what seems like Scripture is showing you is what matters to God. So, yeah, pray for your desires. They do matter to God. Keep your desires godly. You have God's word. You know what that is. Biblically, your desires are important to God. But avoid praying for sinful things. That's what you do. But you pray. And use God's word to govern you about what is a sinful thing and what is not a sinful thing. Be alert to the needs of others. Persevere and petition God like you're strongly seeking him to get yes, yes, yes answers. Pray for me. This is how you pray in the Holy Spirit. You're praying what matters to God. And when it comes to praying for yourself, don't think praying for yourself is somehow wrong. You know, a lot of people think that praying for their own self is somehow wrong. Instead, know that God wants you to do it more than you're doing it now. And when it comes to praying for yourself, don't think praying for yourself is somehow wrong. Has anybody here ever thought that praying for yourself is somehow wrong to do at a particular moment? It's a common thing. But instead, know that God wants you to do it more than you're doing it now. You follow the pattern? You actually need to be praying way more than you're doing now. Just do it seeking the Spirit's guidance, but always, always be asking for his help. And this is the thing. If your prayer life is weak and it's random or it's seemingly absent, then you're not consulting God for help like he wants you to do. So here's the thing. By not persevering in it, what you're doing is you're missing out on any answers that he has waiting for you that only come by prayer. You got to think about God's answers as waiting for you. Think about this. Remember, a prayer answer means it's an answer to your prayer. So if you don't do it, right, or your prayer path is so overgrown that you can't see it, how do you expect to get any answers? This is a very important point. It requires doing it, but persevering and seeking God for everything. Pray for spiritual protection. Pray for finances, for your health, for relationships, like we were praying this morning. Always pray about every detail of your job. Pray for your family. Pray for your spouse, for your children. And when you pray, pray again. This is the thing. Persevere. Don't stop. Keep on going. God never gets tired of you reaching out to him. He wants you to know it. He wants you to know it's your calling. It's the relationship he designed. See, it's you that gets tired of doing it. So pray and be alert and then pray for the next thing and then something else. And here's the thing. We all have needs. There's always something to seek God to provide for. And don't get hung up with like, well, I can't tell whether this is my want or my need. Don't worry about that, because you know who knows? God. And God says, I'll supply all your needs. So if you want it and you don't know whether it's a need, just pray anyway. God wants you to pray about everything. And there's always a need for certain things like strength. There's always a need for wisdom. There's always a need for clarity. You know, Jude 1:20 also says something interesting. It says, pray in the Spirit. And it gives a way to pray for yourself. It says this, build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So there you are. Praying in the Spirit is connecting to building yourself up. And you know if you're being distracted from your need to do this, to pray, you know when you're neglecting your calling. We all know. There can be an endless number of things that can distract you if you're going to let them do it. Now, philosophy is a big one. Contemplating God's sovereignty beyond scriptural revelation can get you thinking your prayers don't matter. Well, doing that is not thinking in the Holy Spirit. Not at all. God tells you to pray. So if you say, well, you know, but God's in control of everything. He's determined the end from the beginning, so I don't need to pray. Just like in a discussion that we had a few weeks ago on Wednesday night, turning this big discussion on God's sovereignty, people were bringing these concepts up, talking about things they don't understand. If you go in that direction, then what is happening, you're going beyond what is written. When you say, well, God's just in control, he's determined the end from the beginning, I don't need to pray, that's going beyond what is written. Instead, think that when you pray, God is sovereignly active in the prayer relation he designed to have with you. That's what it is. The calling is a relationship of love. You see how this works? Say, here's what you say. I'm disobeying you, Lord, by not praying. Now you're on the right track. And when you say that to him, then that's a Holy Spirit-led prayer confession. It's a fact. You will see more yes answers to your prayers when you start being obedient to your prayer call. That's a fact. And pride is another distractor. By the way, pride is very sneaky. And pride says, I don't need to pray because I can handle life. I'm adequate enough to handle it. You know, but what's really going on is you are the one closing the door to God's help. Let's not do that, body. Let's not do that. But another prayer-stopping philosophy is that God only helps those who help themselves. How many times have you heard that? I've heard that through my whole life. God only helps those who help themselves. But God doesn't say that. But listen to this. This is so important about that statement. Believing it gets you thinking helping yourself is what you need to do for God to help you. Now just think about that. But that means you actually think that you don't need God's help. You following the flow? Here's the thing. God knows you always need his help. And another one is thinking that God doesn't want to be bothered with you because it's this thing that I want to pray about and I don't want to bother him and he doesn't want to be bothered by this, whatever this thing is. It can be happening by putting things into certain categories. Maybe you've done this, so tune in. Here's one category. It's called the big things as important things category. So, you know, you think it's okay to pray for whatever you happen to think are big things. Or you put it into a category called things way too big to pray for. You follow what I'm saying about how this gets us in corners? But this is not what prayer in the Spirit does. You know, what's too big to you, that's not big to God. It's smaller than an atom. But there's another category people make. And it's what you think are, and this is so important, things too small to pray for because God would not possibly think it's important enough to answer that. Well, none of that is biblical. Which means what? None of that philosophy is being led by the Holy Spirit. What they are make-believe categories from the flesh. Don't believe any of it. Believe the Bible. Believe God. Don't quit praying at all times with prayer and petition. Being truly led by the Spirit, because you lead yourself to think you're bothering God. Don't do that. Don't get it backwards. What bothers God is when you don't pray like the Word's directing you to pray. To be praying in obedience to the Word of God is to be obedient to being led by the Spirit of God, not philosophy. And God wants you to seek His help, the Spirit. Pray about big things. Pray about the biggest things. Yeah. Pray about small things. And let him decide his answers. I mean, God is the most intelligent being in everything in existence. He knows everything. And then there's what Paul says next. This is our teacher. Pray on my behalf, he says, that utterance will be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. God wants you to pray for the ministry of God's word. And pray for me to do this. Even with everything we're going through, pray for me to minister God's word. It's necessary. I think about the events lately. It's doubly necessary. And so with Paul, he's called to be an apostle. Think about this. He was gifted to speak forth the gospel. He was commissioned. But God wanted the Ephesians to pray that he would have utterance given to him in the opening of his mouth to speak. Now just think about that. Because God in his sovereignty called Paul to have boldness as a faith issue. So don't miss this relationship that we have with God in prayer. One way that God ordained for Paul the apostle to get that boldness is through the prayers of the very people that are in the churches that were led to Christ as the first Christians. Just think about this. This is the way God thinks. And so for you and for me, pray for the gospel to be made known with boldness. A theologian friend of mine, John Reisinger, who has gone to be with the Lord, he wrote a book that deals with the sovereignty of God in prayer. And he said this, a day without praying is a day of not acknowledging the sovereignty of God. Isn't that interesting? A day without praying is a day of not acknowledging the sovereignty of God. So acknowledge that God is working in this world according to his grand scheme of things. His hand is there. He's working in the ministry of his people. Recognize that God in his sovereignty is using you to be part of his work. And be assured that he uses your prayers, the call, to be part of his sovereign work in this world. Got to get the biblical revelation. It is the beauty of how he has designed his relationship with you. So still looking at Paul's example, you know his special task was to proclaim the gospel. You know it was his direct calling from God. But notice what he says next. Pray on my behalf that utterance will be given to my mouth from the opening of my mouth to make known the boldness of the mystery of the gospel. So noticing that Paul asked for boldness in proclaiming the gospel, why would he ask for a prayer to have boldness to proclaim the gospel, which is what his job is already as an apostle? Paul has faith. He knows what to do. He knows what his commission is. It's because Paul was not a Superman. Being arrested over and over again hurts. He was pelted with large rocks by mobs to the point of death in one instance. He was dragged outside of town. He was dumped after the people thought they killed him. Paul was whipped by Roman authorities in excruciating floggings. Most every time that Paul opened his mouth to proclaim Christ, he would get persecuted. He got pained as payment as a matter of the territory of proclaiming the gospel. And when Paul wrote this, he was imprisoned by the enemies of Christ and the gospel. So Paul thought twice about doing things for this reason. Things that are going to get him hurt. And he knew this about himself. But he didn't like it. He knew he was weak. So here's what he did. He said, pray on my behalf that I will speak the words, that I will be bold to do it. And this scripture is so profound for us. Take in what the Spirit is saying to you. No matter who you are, you need to pray. No matter how capable you think you are, you need God's intervention in your life to help be bold, bold for Christ. And notice that Paul did not relegate this to be something that he prayed for by himself. So again, think about yourself. Paul knew he needed the ministry of the Christians, the body of Christ, to pray that God will build him up to be bold. Do this in your own life. You realize the comforts of life are overwhelmingly desirable at times, very much so. And you also know that when you open your mouth to talk, if you avoid Jesus talk, if you avoid biblical conviction, then your avoidance can keep things comfortable. We know that, right? The everyday aches of life are already uncomfortable, but it runs the very real risk of getting more painful when you talk about spiritual things with people in the world, when you take a stand for Christ, when you do things in faith. And so you find you're in a struggle and you like a certain degree of comfort. You want it to be your normal, you know, the comfort. But you know the spiritual war is real. And in a split second, it can be made worse. You know this if you speak about the things of Christ. So your prayer should be like Paul. God, give me boldness. Get others to pray for you to get the boldness. That's how this works. But notice the other detail. He said, to speak as I ought to speak. Now, we all need this kind of prayer. It is prayer for enablement. It takes humble realization that you need prayer for enablement. I need prayer for enablement. It takes getting back to the reliance like Adam had on God before sin was brought in. So you know what the sin was? Very much a part of it was self-reliance. Thinking that he could exist outside God's help. Admit that you need God's help. Pray for the same boldness as Paul. Could be in respect to ridicule, rejection, or hurt looming down the road that you need to go down. You need boldness to push through whatever happens. Well, pray for it. Get others to pray for you. You need the boldness from God that overrides fear, because what is from him helps you confront the danger with such confidence and boldness that you give glory all to God, and it doesn't make sense. It's a faith walk issue. Faith walks do not make sense to people. In other words, when God answers you, he answers for his glory. So make sure that when you pray for something, you always give him credit for his answer. That's another very important aspect to all of this. In the parallel passage of Colossians, writing from the same place of the same exact imprisonment, Paul asked the Colossians for the same thing. And Paul drew upon more than one church fellowship to intercede for him on this exact same thing. So Paul was getting people all over the country to pray for him all around. He said in Colossians 4:2-4, he said, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Praying at the same time for us apostles as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word so that we will speak forth the mystery of Christ for which I have also been in prison. And listen, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Same prayer. So he's asking Christians everywhere for prayer, for a lot of things, and speaking boldly as he ought, that's a big one, even making the gospel clear. So we see two things here, two things that are going to hinder you from speaking the truth of God. One is shrinking back in fear, which is the opposite of boldness. The other is not making the truth of the gospel clear. You need the Lord's help to overcome both, and prayer gets you there. So you got desires, all right? And you have God's word to guide you to know if they're godly desires. They're not simple desires. Pray and ask God to provide. But get others to be praying for you to do it as well. The main thing is the devotion part, the perseverance. That's what you need to be doing. Know that God has called you to it. He says do it regularly. Now listen, are there weeds growing on your prayer trail of life? Is your prayer dropping off because everything just seems, you know, really great? Is it dropping off because everything's not going so well? You know how much God wants you to pray. So here's what we need to be doing. Try to wear down a trench when you pray. A Grand Canyon. That's what we're trying to do. Pray like you know you're in a war. Look for things to pray for. There's plenty to pray for. Pretty much anything and everything. And persevere. That's a big press that I want to give us. Petition God for all your brothers and sisters in Christ. Persevere. This is God's will, folks. Amen.